This is Shirley Kistler, and I'm at the home of Jim Culbertson, and it is April 5th, 2017, and we are here to do an interview for the oral history section of the Decatur Public Library. Most of you know Jim Culbertson by his history of music with Decatur in all sorts of capacities, but do you mind if I ask you how old you are?
I'm currently 66.
66. I just had that thought today because I thought when people listen to this, they need a time reference because it seems like with all you've accomplished in your life, you should be 150.
So
that is why we need to establish that. First, tell me about Springfield. Why is Springfield important in your life?
Well, obviously, I was born there mm-hmm. and raised there and stayed there until my days of entering college at Western Illinois University. So I had an interesting upbringing, a real emphasis with playing sports, especially baseball. I live right next to a tower field, which is in the Southern View area. And so all my little buddies and friends, we would go out and play baseball in the summertime every day. And that became a real big part of my upbringing. Then we moved to on Fifth Street, and I went to Harvard Park Grade School. And at that time is when I started playing trumpet. And I also got hooked up with a really incredible coach to continue my days as a baseball player. And he became a wonderful mentor to me in terms of teaching baseball, but all the other skills that go along with life. So that kind of experience back then at that age really influenced me about not so much baseball, although we were national champs of the Cory League 3 or 4 times in a row, absolutely. But not so much baseball. It's just a matter of how you associate a certain discipline of baseball to life. And as I became more and more involved with music, I tried to do the same thing about music. What am I doing here in life, etc. And then all of a sudden, I figured out that that's going to be a way of being. That's going to be my method of teaching as I became a teacher. So it was really very influential to me. And to this day, I still look back at my Mr. Tim as be my great mentor.
What's his name?
Don Tim. He's passed away just a few years ago. But we had a reunion of a lot of the guys that were in this group. We were in the baseball team for about 5 or 6 years together. And we just went from one age level to the next. And we would go down to St. Louis. And gosh darn, almost every year we would win. It was just fabulous. Our parents had to sign a waiver to be involved with Cory League as a 9 and 10 year old that we would not be gone during the baseball season. We would not take a vacation. Because he wanted to make sure that everybody was intact at practices and at games 100%. So I still think about that as a musician and a conductor, thinking attendance is like the most important thing. So rehearsals, if I don't have everybody at rehearsal and I'm a little empty in a spot with the municipal band, I don't get a sub. Unless I really, really have to, but attendance in terms of rehearsal and just getting everybody on the same page. So that whole philosophy, I learned that when I was playing baseball as a 10-year-old.
That is amazing. I'm jumping ahead a bit, but when my son was in your band, Jerry, and he had to pick between tennis and jazz band, and that attendance was important. Said you have to be there all the time. You cannot do part here and part there, make a commitment and live with it. So I'm sure that did start all the way back there.
It's not important, it's like essential. If you're going to have a real strong program, and see, by the time Jerry entered in the program that I had established at MacArthur, I mean the students had really established, it was just understood that you will be at rehearsals. Why? Because they want to carry the torch. They want to carry on the tradition that was set forth the first couple years that I was the instructor at MacArthur.
Is it true that you were the youngest person to play in the Springfield Municipal
Band?
That
is absolutely correct. And I started in the Springfield Band in 1965. The summer of 1965, I was 14 years old. And and I was a trumpet player. I had lessons in Springfield from a terrific teacher, Ural Hoffman, and I would go to his home. I think I started maybe my third year of playing trumpet, so like seventh grade I would start. And for 2 years or so, almost 3 years, I took lessons from him. And he retired from the Muni Band. He was the assistant first chair trumpet player in the Springfield Municipal Band. And he told me when he was leaving, he says, "You're going to take my chair." And I'm going, "I'm in ninth grade." And he said, "No." He says, you play better than everybody else in the band." I'm like, "I'm in ninth grade." And he said, "Yeah, that's fine." So I went and went to the first rehearsal. And here's all these old guys. And here's this young little punk. And I said, "Where's your Hoffman's chair?" And they said, "Right here." I said, "Well, he told me to sit there." So I did, and I had a wonderful time because I had Horace Sweet was the first chair player, and he was another great mentor to me because he was a vaudeville trumpet player, and he had played at the Orpheum Theater for years. I mean, back when the early days of vaudeville, when it was most important, they carried a live little orchestra, and he played all over the country, but settled back in Springfield at the Orpheum Theater. And so he would tell me, he was a jokester, and would always tell me this and that and the other. You know, like we're 20 minutes into the show, and the conductor turns around to announce something. He says, "Jim," he says, "I think we made about $13.25 so far." So he kept track during the 2 hour show how much money we were making. But he was a great musical mentor and a great inspiration to me, certainly.
Now you went to Western, but then didn't you go to Millikan too?
I directly after high school, Springfield High School, and we had a good band program at Springfield High School. I was still playing baseball, and I was a little torn my senior year whether or not I was going to go into baseball or trumpet, and I had entertained thinking about being a baseball player at Western. And my senior year at high school, I started playing some TV shows and making like a lot of money on Saturdays. So I decided that that might be a better way to go. So in any event, I went to Western, and Western was the first year that I was there. I was not a music major. I was a business major, but I played in all the bands at Western, and I was first chair at all of them. And everybody kept saying, "Jim, what in the world are you doing? Why are you not a music major?" And I said, "Well, I don't want to be those band director guys." And they said, "Why?" Well, you know, I had that thing that, oh, well, that's a nerdy thing to do, because I was a jock, you know. I happened to be real good at playing trumpet, but I was basically a jock. And finally, I succumbed to all the encouragement from my buddies. And so I switched to being a music major and enjoyed it, became great, and scared to death of student teaching. Because I was basically a shy person. And so I remember at Western that, oh my gosh, I got to get up and talk about this and that and the other. Speech class, I was horrible. And then my first day of student taught, I got up and all of a sudden, magic came out. Why? No idea. It just was natural. And being in the environment, being with things that I was so comfortable with in terms of music in general, and you know, there was certainly the gift that I was very fortunate to have, and it just came out, and then all of a sudden I was able to teach. And I tell you what, that was one of the most exhilarating days of my life, was figuring out that, gosh dang, I can do this.
Did you know how to read that complicated music and conduct at that early age, or did they have to teach you that, or is that part of your gift?
Well, you don't really, I mean, no one can teach you really anything. And you have to kind of, you know, people can tell you, well, study this and study that, but you have to do it empirically. You gotta sit down and go, how does this really work? You have to do your own study business. I remember a real important musical thing that I did that no one else did. I had a small record player in my dorm, in college, and I would sit and listen with headphones to a Buddy Rich, his first big band album back in 1968. And I would listen over and over to it, and I would not listen from an enjoyment standpoint. I would listen to the bass part on this tune. I'd put the needle back and go back and listen again, and I'd listen to exactly what Buddy was doing. Only, you know, trying to selectively listening to different parts. Then I go back and listen to what's happening with all the saxophones. So I was learning a skill that no one had taught me to even think about doing, but I was learning the skill of how to dissect all the parts that are in a jazz ensemble. So I started with a jazz ensemble, and then as I figured things out and I spent more time with a concert situation, I figured out that the concert band was way more expanded and much more complicated and much more interesting to me. So I had these jazz roots that are real strong and real honest, but I still at the same point have this real curiosity for the intellectual part of the fact that there's 36 different parts happening at one time. And it just really holds my musical interest.
And you can listen to that and then make yourself listen to a trumpet section or a flute section.
You can.
As the rest of the band is playing.
You can pick that out. And that's because of that skill that I kept doing for the first 2 years of my college. And after that, I got married to Carol. We were high school sweethearts. And my third year, during the summertime, we got married before my junior year, which was the best thing I ever did.
To marry her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But the thing of coming back and learning how to understand music and exactly what I do today, I was doing something that I just happened on it. It would just happen naturally for me to start listening to things. And so my ear is like really highly trained by accident. But, you know, there's certainly a gift there. But I worked on this skill forever.
Well, that doesn't sound accident to me. It sounds like you developed it.
Well, it's a combination of things. And, yeah, okay, developing it, and there's no question that once you develop it, you know, you still keep developing it, and it keeps getting better and better and better.
Well, people say to me, how does he know when there's a wrong note? I said, I know, he just hears it. It's just there, and he knows.
There's a note here, and I have almost not quite perfect pitch, but when the band is playing, I have perfect pitch. So when I'm looking down and somebody's playing a concert E natural, and that's supposed to, or an E flat, it's supposed to be an E natural, that's like somebody throwing a dart at me. I could feel, wait a minute, don't throw. So that's why I'm always so picky about trying to fix things, especially with kids. But even the Muni band, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the wrong note.
I can tell
why?
By your
because,
face.
Because somebody's throwing darts at me. And so as a result of that, it's like, oh, well, this is an effective way to be a teacher. Oh my gosh, this is an effective way to be a conductor and to be able to figure out how you put things together. And then all of a sudden you keep doing that enough, everybody knows that you know what you're doing.
So you are Millikan now? You are at Millikan?
I was at Western for 4 years.
Okay.
And then during that time, I spent some time in the pit. I was at the state fair for 4 years or six, 8 years, something like that, as the pit band for all the shows, the state fair, the Peoria fair. So doing lots of playing for all the shows that came through. First trumpet player for all of that. Traveled up to St. Louis and into Chicago, playing all kinds of shows that were always out there. But during that time, we came to Decatur because I got a teaching job, and it was at Steve Decatur at the old school of the Civic Center.
What year was that?
This was 1972.
Okay.
And the first 2 months of the summer, I didn't do anything. Carol was working as a secretary. I played golf every day on a brand new golf course in Western with my good friend. And that's the last time I played golf. But we came here in August, and I went down to the band room and saw all the music and saw the little bit of mice turds that were all involved with where the music was. So it was a terrible little room.
Okay.
It was, you know, with big posts in it. It was just really
horrible. How long were you there?
I was there until we moved to the new school. So I was there for 4 years.
Okay.
Up until we and then I moved 2 years into the new high school.
And then from there.
But during that time, when I first moved to Decatur and started teaching, it was you know, learning how to do stuff. I did the two bands at Stephen Decatur, did the jazz band after school, and I taught 6 grade schools. And back in the day, they had you working, and your schedule was like stupid. Mm-hmm. But I would get done usually around 4:15, something like that, and I would go over to Millick, and I was able to hook up with some friends. I don't know how exactly that took place, but I heard that they were looking for a lead trumpet player in the Millikan band. I go, well, maybe I could take some master's courses, graduate courses, and participate in the band. So I went over and talked to Roger Schuler, mm-hmm. and he was quite an interesting man.
He was the director of...
Yeah, he was the director of the jazz band, and at one point the director of the wind ensemble at Millikan, and he had a great background, and everybody talked very highly of him as mm-hmm. as a musician, as a really great teacher.
I remember when he passed, it was very sad.
Well, he was like more than demanding.
Yeah.
Not to say that when I was in college, I had two other really great directors that I mm-hmm. learned a lot from.
Uh-huh.
I had a mm-hmm. guy that, in the Western band, Len Strickland, who was terrific, mm-hmm. terrific teacher. And to be quite honest, I learned a lot from him because we didn't have a very good band at Western when I was in it. And mm-hmm. so he was such a great teacher, he would make the band sound good. And I watched him how you rehearse a band. And I'm going, I want to play. So all these little things about
yeah.
just all the nuances, the mm-hmm. subtle little nuances that are so important to music, arts,
uh-huh.
drama, mm-hmm. the whole thing, all those subtle little things. If you let them absorb into you, then all of a sudden that you put those in your back pocket, and then that's your toolbox.
It's natural.
And then it becomes natural, becomes uh-huh. part of you. So, but Roger Schuler basically had the same kind of effect on me, but I was teaching full time, and then I would go after that and go spend time in rehearsal almost every day.
Didn't sound like you had much spare time in those days.
Oh, no. And during that time, also, I carried 36 trumpet students every week.
Oh, 36.
Plus, I played any gig that came around. Mm-hmm. Anybody called, I'm there. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the pay? $35. Oh, I'm there. I need it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
My wife's not working. I got a kid on the way here. And, you know, I need to put food on the table and I'll do anything. So I did anything for a little bit of money. But the experience with the lab band, Millikan Lab Band, was really terrific. I got my lifelong friends are from that particular group.
Okay.
And
then you jumped to MacArthur. When did you do that?
Well, I was at the old school for 5 years, or 4 years. It was 4 years. And then the new school opened. It was supposed to have been only 3 years in the new school, but it wasn't ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to spend another year at the old school. So I had the experience of being in old Steve Decatur High School. Oh, what fun it was. Not really.
it was an experience there by the road.
And we were right. We went out to the new school. I was out there for mm-hmm. 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I learned how to be a teacher. And mm-hmm. and it was kind of low-key. I was learning how to teach grade school, which at first I didn't want to do. But mm-hmm. after a while, I figured out that I better learn how to really do this and really influence kids and, most importantly, bond with them. If you bond with the grade school kids in fifth grade, I'm going, gosh, this is a terrific way to recruit kids for your program in junior high and middle school and high school. So I'm going, my goodness, this is the secret. I learned that while I was still at Steve Decatur.
Now, did you know Steve Shepper at this point?
Steve Shepper, my third or fourth year, he student taught with me. Matter of fact, he student taught at the new school. So the first year I was in the new school,
okay.
he was my student teacher. And I knew him. He was a Millikan student, about 5 years younger than me, and 5 or 6 years younger than me. And And so he student taught. We became, you know, pretty good friends. Like most of the student teachers that I had, we all became pretty darn good friends. And most of them are still to this day. Simply because I took ownership of it, wanted them to be successful. And so I gave him my heart and gave him everything that I knew. All my material that I learned, I passed it right on down.
And when you started at MacArthur, what was your first band like?
Well, interesting as it may be, I was able to spend at least three summers with Festus Paul during the summer months, and I taught with his summer program. Why? Money. But it was only from 8 in the morning to noon, and that horribly hot auditorium and the hot band room, etc., etc., etc. But this band program was full of West Enders. It was all West End kids. And none of those came to see Decatur. So I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm kind of wasting my time. But then I go, no, I'm learning the skill of being a teacher. And so when the opportunity came to change, I was starting to look at, well, okay, I've been teaching for 5 or 6 years. It's time for me to start thinking seriously. Should I get a doctorate degree? Should I go on the road? Should I be a musician? You know, I always wanted to be on the road and be a musician. No, that's not going to work. So I started looking for a better teaching position from Steve Decatur. And so I was able to go down to, I had an interview in the St. Louis area. And I had a second interview down there at this beautiful place. Parkway West High School, and I was offered the job, and I took it. And I remember the day that I took it, I was so excited, and I was putting gas in my car in the St. Louis area, and on my way back, all of a sudden, ice started coming down. It was the ice storm of 78.
Oh my goodness.
I came into Decatur, barely made it into Decatur, and there were no lights.
Right.
There was nothing on. There was nobody out. It was a ghost town, and I was literally, I was thinking Twilight Zone.
It's scary, wasn't it?
Oh, Twilight Zone City. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I'm looking down, and finally, we lived on Monroe Street, and I finally turned, I'm going down Monroe Street, and I swear to God, I'm shaking. This is what's happened here. And I pull up and into my home and my family, and they were all there. But, you know, I found out what had happened. You know, the ice storm just made everything crash. But anyway, that was the day that I found out that I was taking this job. So probably the only time in my life that I felt like I was kind of getting an ulcer. thinking, my gosh, my stomach is really feeling pretty weird. Should I be taking this job or not? I don't remember. And then, oh, probably a few days later, I was at Steve Decatur, and I had called Wally Barnett and told him that who was the recruiter at Millikan University, and a friend of mine, because he was one of the first guys I met in Decatur as a teacher. But he had gone on to Millikan and been a recruiter. But he knew all about the Parkway West and all that kind of thing, and so he had told some people in the city that I was going to go. And the Kyle Building found out about it. So Phil Tench, who was an administrator in the district, he came to me at Steve Decatur High School, the new high school, and he talked to me about this and that and the other, and I swear to God, he just convinced me to stay and to go to MacArthur, because Bob Cruzan was hanging it up. He had been there for 20 years, and he had had enough, and I knew all the kids. I knew all because I had taught them in the Festus Paul program in the summer. So I'm going, you know what, maybe this would be a better way to do it. The money was going to be almost the same as going down to St. Louis. And of course, what, making $12,000 a year or something silly. And, going down there, it might have been 13 or something crazy. But
and your friends were here.
I had friends here, and to be honest, I had just signed the contract, or I was hopeful that I was going to get the Muni Bank gig. This was a year before. So I'm putting all these things together thinking, maybe I should do this. So I got on the phone and talked to this guy that I accepted the job down in St. Louis. And he was not happy. Anyway, I decided to go to MacArthur, and the first time that I went there, you know, I did it the right way, met with all the kids first. And so my first day at MacArthur High School was magical, because I knew all the kids, and they were all ready to go. And there were a lot of good, talented kids. So those that year and the following year, that's what set the tradition of the MacArthur Band Program, those 2 years.
We need to stop right there, but we have not done that band history from all the glory days until you retired, and even a couple after, whether you chose to or not. Plus, we haven't talked about the Muni Bank. Can I come back? We'll do part two.
Yeah, well, see, there's lots to my life.
I know. I don't even know half this stuff. Okay, so we'll do part two. We got to talk about Muni Band.
Are we done?
We'll just stop right here, because it's been a half an hour.
Already?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
So, this is Shirley Kissler signing off with Jim Culbertson, and we're going to have a part two. Thanks. Have a good one.
We'll probably have a part three, too. Sorry, I didn't realize it.
No, see, it's fine. It goes faster.
I do.
I'm watching the clock and watching it right now. And so we're
good. So what are you going to talk about next time?
We're going to talk about the MacArthur program and, you know, what you did and the awards you've won, the boys won, and then that couple. And then we're going to talk about Muni Band, because that took from here to here. And, you know, the stuff we talk about at Primrose, you know, the philosophy and why we do it and why it's important to Decatur.
So is this all right?
Oh, it's great. Now, what I will do is take this to her.
You know, I'm gonna, next time that we do this, I'm going to give yes, no answers.
I'll kill you. Yes. I'm just kidding.
No.
Say,
yes.
Fuck no. That's a fuck no. No way. All right, just sign this. And you got to eat and get cleaned up. God, you need to get cleaned up. Okay.
No. I just put some jeans on.
Okay, just say, Jim, I'll just write this. Culbertson. Okay, sign that. First thing.
I feel the world will even listen to this.
You'd be surprised, baby. I've had people call me and say, that was so interesting about Jim Chilgaris. I didn't know half of that. And I said, no.
What's the date this
is? To April? The 5th, April 5th. Oh, wait, that's the rest of his. All right, then.
I think my aunt's still living. She's 102. You know, John McCain's mother's still alive. She's 105.
Is this something? All right, you can sign this later, and then I'll turn this in when we do number two, but I'll take this part.
I did this.
I want this back.
See all this stuff?
Yeah, I know it.
I did I applied for a couple jobs a few years ago.
You needed this?
Yeah, okay. I was...
Well, this was smart, though, and then I did my homework, and I studied. I'm like, that's why I said, this you should be 150.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sir, but I got to make sure I do this right. I always go, oh, Jesus, tell me I didn't talk to him for half an hour, and it's nothing. I can wait.
Yeah, this is what you do when you're doing